Lon Johnson, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Line 5. Mm-hmm. That's the oil pipeline run by Enbridge. It's over 60 years old, and it goes under the Straits of Mackinac. And environmental groups were the first ones to raise the concern over this pipeline. Enbridge, the company that runs it, says it's safe. And you've made it an issue early in your campaign. What should be done with it?
Well, I believe that what needs to happen here is we need to shut it down and have an independent inspection. You know, I'm not opposed to oil. I'm not opposed to pipelines. Pipelines are, in fact, the safest way to move oil. However, the situation is we have a 63-year-old pipeline running through the Straits of Mackinac, pushing a half a billion barrels a day that we don't know independently that it's safe. And, look, when it comes to our Great Lakes, we have, if we were to have an accident there, the cost would be immeasurable, to our ecology, to our economy, to our health. And I don't think it's too much to ask for to have this thing shut down, quickly, independently inspect it to see if it's safe. Let's not forget, this is owned by a company that was also responsible for the largest pipeline disaster in the United States history 5 years ago, right here in Michigan.
In Kalamazoo. Near Kalamazoo.
That's right.
Are you comfortable with the way that the state is taking on this pipeline issue?
Some aspects, sure. Look, the problem that I have, though, is that we've seen when Flint is a prime example, we see that our government officials trust has to be now turned to vigilance. We cannot just blindly trust government or corporations when it comes to the safety of our Great Lakes. We need to always be vigilant here. The governor has called for a pipeline task force. They're looking into alternatives. We applaud that. That's a great thing. But in the meantime, we can't allow foot dragging here under the guise of a task force when we have a 63-year-old pipeline that we can't confirm independently that it's safe.
What other Great Lakes issues would you work on?
Well, I think there's quite a few. We've got a Asian carp, invasive species. That's a big problem. We're seeing Asian carp slowly creep up to our Great Lakes, and that is a threat. If Asian carp gets into our Great Lakes, again, our economy, our health, the ecology will be irreparably harmed.
Republicans are attacking you now like they did in 2012 about where you live. Can you clear up where you live and how long you've been there?
I live just outside of Grayling, between Grayling and Kalkaska, right near the Manistee River. I moved back to northern Michigan in 2006. I bought that house in 2011. I'm the fifth generation of my family to live in northern Michigan. My great-great-grandfather came here. He was a logger. My great-grandfather, so on and so forth. I have the values of northern Michigan, and these are just giant distractions from, our opponents who, frankly, are not willing to provide an answer of how our families can stay and succeed.
Bart Stupak, the longtime congressman in the first district, has endorsed you, and he said that you would be somebody who could help make the area a place where families can stay and succeed. A lot of people here don't feel like this is a place right now where they can thrive, even with national unemployment dipping under 5%. What do you offer those people?
That's our biggest challenge, first off, is, how do we create a UP in a northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed? What I offer, we have to look around. What are our best assets? There are people, our land, and our Great Lakes. We need a member of Congress that's going to work to invest in and protect those assets. Specifically, we need to do three things, I think. One, we need to return passenger rail service to northern Michigan and to the UP. We have all these great rail lines. We still own the right-of-ways. We used them for decades to export value, lumber. Now we need those same rail lines to import value, people. Second, we need high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service everywhere. We're massively moving as an economy where people can live and work wherever they choose. But we're not ready. We need high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service all throughout in every corner of northern Michigan and the UP. And last but not least, and this is the most long-term, but we need to position northern Michigan as the world's thought leader on the use and protection of fresh water. You know, in 20 years' time, nations will be going to war over fresh water. We have a competitive advantage over every other country and over every other state, and that is 21% of the world's fresh water is right here. In fact, the first congressional district has the most fresh water of any district in America. We need to create a freshwater institute and show the world how to use and protect fresh water. The same way that Stanford created Silicon Valley, we can do that with fresh water and show the world how to better use and protect fresh water.
And
you know, if I could interrupt one more thing. Look, all sure. of these things we're talking about here are no different from what our ancestors did. You know, Northern Michigan led the world in international trade, fur trade in the 1700s. Then we led the world in mining. Then we led the world in lumber. The question really for us is what's next and how do we get there?
What have you done that you think has best prepared you to be a congressman here?
Well, you know, one work that, you know, a couple things here. There's you know, it's first off the values that I have from a family with five generations of Northern Michigan history, working hard, playing by the rules, never giving up. You know, those are the values, you know, that led me to be one of the first in my family to graduate from college. Those were the values that saw me through. I worked in Iraq as a civilian in 2005 and early 2006, helping to build the political infrastructure there so our troops could come home earlier. Those are the values that I used to help invest in and grow U.S. manufacturing companies. I did that for 7 years.
That was in Tennessee, is that right?
Well, no, it was from here. But the company that I worked for was in Tennessee, yes. But I worked from here, again, using high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service. I was able to work right from Blue Lake Township, Kalkaska.
Back in 2012, when you ran for a state House seat up north, mm-hmm. The National Rifle Association gave you, I think, an A-.
Yeah, it was a high rating. I don't recall exactly what it was, but it was a decent rating.
Have your views on guns changed since then?
Well, I think, you know, guns present, you know, look, we have, you know, whether you used a gun in war or used a gun in self-protection or used a gun for sport, hunting or any sort of sporting activity, with that gun comes with it responsibility. And with that gun, you know, comes with values that we have here in Northern Michigan, responsibility, self-reliance, respect for that gun. And we need a member of Congress that understands that value. The problem that we're having is that, you know, in other communities around our country, they don't seem to have those values. And so, look, we you know, I'm a believer in the Second Amendment. This district, Northern Michigan, has those values, and I will represent those values in Congress and work to protect the Second Amendment.
Speaking of Bart Stupak, he was one of the rare pro-life Democrats in Congress. Where do you stand on abortion?
I believe that that choice is up to the woman, that's where I draw the line. It's that is a deeply personal decision, and that decision should be, you know, the same way that people don't want to be told what to do with their guns. Why should it be any different for a woman who has to make a very personal choice?
This is an enormous district. How are you prepared to represent, you know, people from Traverse City to, you know, all the way to the Porcupine Mountains to Wakefield?
Yeah, sure,
you know,
sure.
How do you do that?
Well, it's understanding that we have something in common, and that is, you know, look, too many of our kids and grandkids are leaving here for a better job or for education or for opportunity. The question is, how do we create that place where they don't, you know, where they have the option to stay and succeed? That's what we have in common. You know, the UP and Northern Michigan, we're not uncommon. We had the same goals here of creating a place where our families can stay and succeed. And it's, you know, finding that common ground, and we have different assets to bring to answer that. You know, in the UP, it's more of a resource-based economy. You have more mining, logging, Northern Lower is more tourism, some agriculture, you know, greater, well, you have equal agriculture, but, we have different assets to bring here to that problem, but we have the same problem. How do we create a place where we can stay and succeed?
And what would be legislative priorities for you on day one?
Day one would again be, look, we're on our own. You know, we're not getting any help from Washington. We're not getting help from Lansing. But that's, you know, frankly, that's okay. We have everything we need here. We've got great people. We've got great land. We've got great lakes, the Great Lakes. What I would work towards is three things. You know, bringing high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service to all our communities. I would bring work to bring passenger rail service, returning passenger rail service to the UP in northern Michigan. And I would work towards creating a freshwater institute to make us the world's leader on the use and protection of fresh water.
Do you see Congress, you know, coming together to be able to support some of those ideas? I mean, it would take money to do some of the things that you're talking about. Do you see it?
Well, these are investments. You know, this is these aren't giveaways that I'm talking about. These are investing in, you know, again, our best assets, our people, our land, and our Great Lakes. How do we use these assets, and how do we build upon those assets? These are investments. The same way that in the 50s we laid down highways, now we need to think about how do we invest, you know, and that created economic growth. Now we need to figure out how do we continue creating economic growth. Look, the problem that we have in Congress is that it's become just a partisan bickering, you know, nasty place. And we need – it's in districts like this that are 50-50, that are, you know, that don't tilt one way or the other, where, you know, I think members of Congress that will be elected all across this country to go to Washington and to not go there to be a partisan hack, that will go there to work for the needs of the district. On a nonpartisan basis.
Who are you supporting in the presidential race?
Well, right now I'm remaining neutral. You know, I have my own election, and I'm focused on, you know, communicating and working with the voters here to let them know precisely what I'm going to do for them when I get to Congress.
And since you've been out there, I mean, what are you picking up on? What are people worried about right now?
Well, they're worried about income inequality. You know, they're worried about, you know, they're seeing a country where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And they're seeing a country where our economy seems to be rewarding those on Wall Street or on Washington that live in Washington, D.C. And the question is, how do we participate in that economy and continue to grow? And again, I believe we do so by first, you know, making sure that we're connected on high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service. I believe we do that by becoming a world's thought leader on an asset that's going to be worth more than oil, and that's fresh water. I'm not talking about selling our water. That's not it. Well, water is it's not a generation issue. It's an efficiency issue. We need to show the world how to better use and protect fresh water. And last but not least, it's about bringing, you know, creating a tourism's a major part of our economy. You know, making it easier for people to come up here and spend money, you know, with using passenger rail service. This is, you know, it's income inequality, I think, is the one of the biggest threats to us. And the question is, how do we solve that? We can't just bury our head and hope for an answer. We have to address that proactively. That will take investments, that will take a 5, 10, and 15-year plan. And that's what I'm prepared to give this district.
What do you think Congress can actually do? I mean, what policies, you know, can we do to change that?
Well, I think it starts first off with investing in people, you know, and number two, saying no to these corporate special interests. Let me go back. So let me outline what I mean by investing in people. You know, look, when you invest in people through education, through job training, through making sure they have the access to the internet and mobile cell phone service, that they have access to capital. You know, in northern Michigan, small businesses drive our economy. What are we doing to make sure that those small businesses are not only staying here but have the ability to grow and tap larger markets and have a qualified workforce? We need to invest in education, and we need to give those businesses the infrastructure they need, be it digital or physical infrastructure with trains and better highways and better roads. You know, a Sioux lock, you know, adding another lock here was very important to this district. The second is, look, what we have right now is a Congress that is allowing tax breaks, allowing tax structures, allowing regulatory, lessening of regulatory behavior towards corporate America that is not creating a place where we can stay and succeed. You know, we've got businesses that instead of organically growing by building a better product, finding a new market, hiring new people, buying new machines, they're going to Washington with, you know, thousands of hiring good PR firms, hiring good lobbyists, and throwing campaign contributions around and getting tax breaks that, while maybe beneficial to a corporation, is not beneficial to America. You're creating an environment where corporations are growing financially, but they're not growing growing a society. They're not doing it. They're offshoring their manufacturing. They're parking their money in states, in other countries for tax benefits. That's just wrong. And the people who are paying for it are you and I. We're paying for it in increased taxes. We're paying for it in decreased services. This Blackstone issue is a prime example. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Say more.
The Blackstone issue is what they're doing is these large corporations are going to Lansing and getting tax rulings that their store is classified differently, so that they can decrease their tax burden to the local community, which is forcing, this is again a decision being made in Lansing that affects the tax base of a county, and then that county has to reduce their services. It's just not fair. It's a prime example of corporations hiring good law firms, good PR firms, and throwing around contributions and going to some state capital or the federal capital and getting tax policies that may be beneficial to their bottom line, but is hurting our communities.
Lon, anything else that you'd like to talk about?
Well, again, I think the real issues before us are about creating a place where we can stay and succeed. We need to do that by investing in and protecting our greatest assets, our people, our land, and our Great Lakes. Specifically, that means high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service to all our communities. That means returning passenger rail service. And that means creating a freshwater institute to position us as the world's thought leader in the use and protection of fresh water. None of this is any different from what our ancestors did. We led the world in international trade, fur trade, in the 1700s. Then we led the world in lumber. We led the world in mining. The question for us is, what's next and how do we get to it?
Is anyone else calling for this for a freshwater institute here?
Well, there's quite a few. Not that I'm aware of. There's quite a bit being done on that right now. At Michigan Tech and Northern and Lake Superior and Western and Michigan and Michigan State. The problem is that we're all going to Washington and carving each other up to try to get grants and research funding. Meanwhile, other states are gaining ground on this. Look, this is Michigan. 21% of the world's fresh water is right here. We need to be the same way that we led the world in manufacturing. We need to lead the world on showing them how to use and protect fresh water. The first district has the most fresh water of any district in America. We do that by creating the intellectual hub, if you will, the same way that Stanford created Silicon Valley. It was because back in the 70s, somebody at Stanford said, this computer engineering, computer science, that's the future. Let's beef that up in our curriculum, and we'll produce graduates that will ultimately stay here, and we will be known for that. And that's what created Silicon Valley. And we need to do the same thing with fresh water.
Where would you imagine it going?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity that, we've got terrific assets. It would be going somewhere near the water. How about that? The first district is rather large.
Lon Johnson, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate the time.